banks in the news today. J.P. Morgan Chase finally coming clean. Well, not coming clean, but they're being precise about that loss. More than $4 billion in the derivatives trading market. We'll have more on that all day today. But on the day it's announcing its quarterly earnings as well, Wells Fargo Bank is also on the hook for $175 billion to settle accusations that outside brokers selling Wells Fargo mortgages discriminated against Black and Hispanic borrowers between 2004 and 2009. The borrowers more likely to have been given high-risk predatory lending rates, charged fees that did not reflect their actual credit scores as compared with white borrowers. The case was brought by the U.S. Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. It wasn't the first time this sort of complaint has been won in court. In December, Bank of America paid $335 million over accusations of discrimination by its countrywide financial unit. And then in May, SunTrust Mortgage agreed to pay $21 million for the same kinds of discrimination issues. Joining me now is Thomas Perez, Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Rights Division. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be on your show.
Describe what it was that individuals who were the target of this discrimination or victims of this discrimination had to pay that others didn't.
Well, if you were, let's look at the 80-year-old African-American resident of the Baltimore area. She had a 714 credit score, John, a rock-solid credit file, and she received a subprime loan instead of a prime loan. She wasn't told that she could have qualified for a prime loan. And by the time she realized that she had one of those adjustable rate mortgages and not the fixed rate mortgage that she thought she had, it was too late and the damage was done. And all too many people were in that situation. They either paid what amounted to a racial surtax, fees that weren't tied to any indicia of creditworthiness, but rather tied to who they were, or they were steered into subprime loans that had toxic features that dramatically increased the likelihood of bad things happening.
And bad things, you mean defaults, so foreclosure.
Defaults and foreclosures. And when you're in a subprime loan, you're far more likely to end up in the soup than if you are in a prime loan.
That's the reality. What is the exposure of the bank when it is outside brokers who maybe are the face-to-face contact people with the individual borrowers?
Sure. Well, whether a bank is working with its own employees originating loans or with brokers, they have an obligation to ensure that people that they are working with are following the law, including fair lending laws. And when you give discretion, whether it's to your own originators or to brokers, to vary the terms of loans, and you don't monitor the discretion, and our complaint alleged that the bank actually knew as a result of some internal audits it did that there were problems, and it did not respond to those fair lending problems. There were red lights that were going off saying people are getting treated differently, and brokers and others are potentially manipulating documents so that they can indeed move someone into a subprime loan when they shouldn't be in a subprime loan. So regardless of whether you're working with your own employees or with brokers, you have an obligation to ensure that they're doing the right thing.
Isn't it odd, and maybe it's not so odd from your perspective, but if you look back historically, two generations ago, we were looking at discrimination that denied loans to African Americans and Hispanics. Here we've got discrimination on sort of aggressively selling toxic and subprime loans. The situation is reversed, but the discrimination is the same.
Sure. We see a wide array of unlawful practices in our work. We did a case, John, recently in Detroit involving what we call traditional redlining, where the bank in question, quite literally, in establishing its market area and target area, drew a red line around Wayne County, which is metropolitan Detroit, and it wasn't lending to African Americans, even though it could have done well and done good. That's wrong. And then we have cases of reverse redlining, where oftentimes communities of color are targeted for these toxic products. And so there's a wide array of types of discrimination. There's steering, and the allegation in this case was that, again, similarly situated African Americans and Latinos were treated differently from white borrowers. And really what it comes down to is, in the lending context, similarly situated people should be treated similarly. People should be judged by the content of their creditworthiness and not the color of their skin. And what we find is that doesn't always happen.
In the Wells Fargo case, were these internal documents that you describe, which indicate that the mortgage brokers had discretion that wasn't being sufficiently monitored, are those smoking guns in a case like this?
Well, the documents I'm referring to, they had a process called the A paper filter, which was actually a process, which is a good internal control to have in place to make sure that people are getting treated fairly. And these documents showed that in the steering context, there were a lot of people who should have been in the prime loan setting, but weren't. And there were many ways that an originator, whether an employee or whether a broker, could manipulate the process so that an individual would be in a prime loan. And the incentive to manipulate the process was, if you put someone in a prime loan, the originator got more money. And if you put someone in a prime loan, a subprime loan, I should say, the bank, because it's a higher interest rate, when you sell that loan on the secondary market, you get more money for it. So there were some perverse incentives, and those perverse incentives end up working to the detriment of minority borrowers. And the bank should have done a better job monitoring those practices. Discretion in and of itself is not a bad thing. But when you don't monitor the discretion that you're giving to your originators, then bad things happen.
Any chance anyone will be compensated who was a victim from this settlement?
Oh, absolutely. We have a fund of $125 million. And in addition, the bank has agreed to undertake a review of its retail lending operation and compensate any victims in the steering context that we identify.
All right.
I anticipate that we will identify them.
All right. Thomas Perez, Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Rights Division, talking about the Wells Fargo Bank settlement on discriminatory charges. People should go to the Department of Justice website to find out about victim compensation. Thank you, Thomas.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.